Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills, I do Windows Server Marketing at Microsoft, and you've joined for a really great episode today. We're going to talk about networking in Windows Server 2016, and we got the perfect guy to explain it to us, because it's not a 30-second conversation, it's not a one-minute conversation, it's something you need to talk about a little bit. So we've got Keith Mayer from Microsoft here. How are you doing, Keith?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thanks for having me join today.
You are welcome. Well, we need someone really smart and really technical to tackle this subject. You feel like you're up to the task, my friend?
I think so. Yeah, I've done networking my whole career. So,
okay.
Definitely. It's been part of every solution I've deployed over the last 25 years. So,
okay, good. Well, we've got the right guy then. So everyone watching here, if you're really interested in Windows Server 2016, you want to learn more about it, be sure to go to ORCA, which is the OEM Reseller Community Academy. It's aka.ms/ORCA. Sign up there. You can watch all the Windows Server 2016 videos that Keith and I are creating, as well as download a lot of content to give you more information about Windows Server. So aka.ms/ORCA. All right, so let's get right to it, Keith. So what's new in Windows Server 2016 for network?
Yeah, there's so much that's new. I don't think we'll have time in today's show to cover all of it, but we'll definitely try to highlight some of the bigger, more salient features that your customers and partners will want to emphasize when thinking about networking and Windows Server 2016. You know, networking has certainly been part of the Windows Server operating system for years and years, since the beginning, back in the NT4.0 advanced server days and even before that. But the challenge in many environments, particularly as environments grow in size, is that physical, traditional network infrastructure can still be pretty difficult and pretty costly to manage and grow. So a lot of what we've done with Windows Server 2016 has been to democratize portions of that physical networking and pull that back into the core operating system and into Hyper-V at a virtualization layer to make it easier and easier to deploy what used to be relatively complicated networking architectures that might involve distributed firewalls or load balancing or whatnot, but be able to deploy it in a way that scales and is managed through your Windows Server operating system instances as you deploy and scale those instances. And so a lot of that input is actually not something that we invented out of the air. We actually leveraged a lot of inspiration from the proven, battle-tested networking technologies that we've been using in our own Azure Cloud platform for the last, almost 8 years now, and prior to that in many of our other cloud data centers for other offerings that we've had prior to Azure. And so you'll find that particularly for those viewers that are really conversant with Azure, you'll start seeing a lot of similarity in Windows Server 2016, particularly around the software-defined networking stack, or what the industry is calling SDN stack. And when people start thinking about software-defined networking, they think about, oh, this is supposed to be easier. It sounds more difficult. What's really the value proposition of software-defined networking? And really the value proposition is to reduce the complexity and cost of your network infrastructure and to be able to define your network infrastructure in a way that's portable to your application requirements. And what I mean by that is, you know, lots of organizations, as they grow, they may grow the number of applications and the number of physical servers they have in their on-premises data centers, but they're also oftentimes working with hosting providers or potentially leveraging or considering leveraging public cloud platforms like Microsoft Azure. And if they have to manage the configuration of networking and network security and high availability and all those pieces separately for every deployment of the same application, whether it's on-premises or hosted or in the public cloud, quickly the management of those applications can get beyond the IT team that they have internally that's managing their network infrastructure. And so software-defined networking, in addition to reducing cost and complexity, It also allows you to define those network requirements, package them with the applications that you're deploying, and then as you deploy them to Azure, to your on-premises data center, to hosted architectures running Windows Server 2016, you have that consistency. You're not redefining or reinventing the networking wheel, so to speak, for every type of deployment of those applications.
Right. And so I know this is a very common problem. Businesses of all sizes deal with the complexity of networking. They deal with, you know, branch offices and cloud and hosted virtual machines and disaster recovery installations. And they're always juggling, if this goes down and it takes the whole subnet with it and I need to fire up these virtual machines somewhere else, how do I do that? And it's been really a hard problem to solve until software-defined data center and software-defined networking has come along and made things a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's also, for organizations of all sizes, I think there's also a real security benefit to that as well. Because as you think about security, what most organizations do is they spend an incredible amount of time thinking about how to secure their primary production environments. But then when you touched on some of those other environments, like a DR environment or a testing environment or whatnot, oftentimes they don't have the luxury of spending a lot of time to worry about how to separately secure all these other environments they're using. Where if they take the software-defined data center approach and they bake in their network architecture and their network security into that overall package that they're deploying to the various deployments, the security, consistent security goes along with that deployment as well.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So, companies of all sizes, it sounds like, can take advantage of some of this technology. A lot of it may be more enterprise focused, but, all companies of all sizes care about security and the ability, like you're talking about, to carry the security with you, regardless of where the virtual machine is actually running. That's huge.
Yeah, definitely. And so when we think about software-defined networking, one of the points that we were talking about is that it helps to reduce the cost and complexity of managing a growing network environment. And one of the ways that Windows Server 2016 does that is through the network controller role, which is a feature that's part of the SDN suite and data center edition of Windows Server 2016. And what network controller does is it allows you to take all of that network configuration that's distributed across your environment and roll it up into a central point of management. So then instead of having to manage separate switches, routers, firewalls, proxies, IDS, IP, all those various types of different appliances, we can now do that centrally through a set of declared and defined configuration through that network controller role, which then reaches out to all of those other network components, virtual or physical, and configures them to the specifications you've defined. And again, I mentioned earlier that a lot of this SDN technology in Windows Server 2016 is inspired from what we've done in our own Azure platform. The network controller is one of those Azure-inspired features. The way that self-provisioning of network and load balancing and firewalls and security works in Azure is through a very similar kind of distributed network controller that's distributed across our various Azure regions from a high availability and fault tolerance standpoint. And the other pieces that we've invested in as part of that SDN stack in Windows Server 2016 Data Center Edition is an area called Network Function Virtualization. And it's kind of a long technical term that really means taking what used to be hardware devices like firewalls and switches and routers and load balancers and bringing them into the core of Hyper-V so that they can be deployed across your Hyper-V hosts close to the virtual machines that you're running in a virtualized manner. So not just virtualizing the applications anymore, but also virtualizing the connectivity, the network connectivity between those various VMs and the security and whatnot. And so in terms of network function virtualization, the specific types of network functions or physical devices that we virtualized in Windows Server 2016 are software load balancer for being able to load balance requests across multiple application instances for high availability or scale out capacity. Distributed firewall for being able to place firewall rules close to the workloads that you're protecting so that as those workloads move from host to host through, say, a live migration or whatnot, the distributed firewall continues to protect those workloads consistently. And VPN gateway for being able to do secure connectivity site-to-site or site-to-cloud and have that be something that can be easily deployed and scaled as a set of software components as well.
So I know people are wondering this. You know, we've had these hardware components for a long time, you know, firewalls and load balancers and gateways. And, you know, people are like, that works fine. Why would we want to do something crazy like do this in software? Like, what are the real advantages, if you have to break it down, of doing this hardware functionality in software now?
That's a great question. So that what a lot of people don't realize is that when they look at a router, a physical router device or a firewall or a load balancer device, what those really are specially built, special purpose computers that run their own software operating system and their own software stack that's been singularly optimized for the function that they're providing. And so what we've done is we've taken the equivalent of that singular optimization, baked it into Hyper-V and our software-defined networking stack in Data Center Edition so that it can now be distributed and scale out as you add more and more hosts in your environment, rather than having to invest separately in these physical network infrastructure devices that need to be separately managed, separately scaled, separately planned for from a support and upgrade standpoint, being able to coalesce that together. So we're really taking advantage of the optimizations that have been done in software by many of these physical device appliance manufacturers, right, and kind of translating them into virtualized software that can run within Windows Server.
Sure. So it sounds like, you know, when you don't have to buy all these single function standalone boxes, you're going to save money.
Yep.
But what about the complexity? Is it more complex to do all that functionality in Windows Server, or is it more complex to manage all these little boxes?
Well, you know, it's definitely different taking the approach of a software-defined networking stack.
Right.
And as you begin that path, there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it quickly becomes easier and allows you to accelerate the deployment of new applications, new servers, new networking configurations, because what you have is instead of having to learn the command line interface of a particular firewall and the web administration interface of a particular load balancer and how to use this reverse proxy to do X, Y, and Z, all separate administrative interfaces, by attaching all of those components as virtualized network functions that roll up under network controller, that centralized role that's managing them all, we now have a consistent model for working through network controller to be able to define and declare our firewall rules, our load balancing rules, our VPN rules and whatnot. We have a consistent interface for doing all of that, and it's a consistent definition that can travel regardless of where we deploy those applications, versus having to manage all of these endpoint devices as individual pets within our network infrastructure.
Right. Makes sense. Okay. Good. Well, what else is new from a networking platform technology standpoint?
Yeah. So beyond software-defined networking, there's a number of improvements in the rest of the networking stack with Windows Server 2016 as well. With DNS, domain name service, in Windows Server, we've added a bunch of features into DNS for doing geographic load balancing. So if you have customers with multiple data centers and they want to be able to geographically load balance or fail over from one data center to the other, the DNS service makes that possible to basically easily be able to load balance or redirect DNS requests from data center A to data center B, for instance.
That's huge. So that's going to speed everything up. It's going to ensure people are using a local server whenever possible, which will, you know, for bigger companies, will have a big impact.
Yep, definitely. And there's also a security aspect of DNS as well, because, you know, DNS has been around on the internet for ages, and it's there's been occurrences in the public internet of DNS denial of service attacks that have taken down some relatively large properties. And so with Windows Server 2016 DNS, we have response rate limiting built in to be able to protect DNS services running on Windows Server 2016 from common denial of service attacks by limiting different types of responses and being able to throttle those. Again, that type of throttling approach is something that's been inspired from the lessons we've learned within our Azure data center regions as well. We take similar approaches there with our own DNS services for a similar reason.
That's great. We see all kinds of websites being taken down from denial of service. Like, it's just a daily occurrence when someone decides to launch a denial of service attack against you. Historically, it was pretty tough to defend against. Now with Windows Server 2016, it's just built in. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, it's built into the DNS server stack. Yep.
Nice.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, to protect against DNS denial of service requests.
Yeah. Love it. All right, what else?
And then, a lot of environments with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2, we added support for accelerated networking through RDMA, remote DMA access, directly down to a network adapter for high-speed transfer to and from a network adapter into the memory that your applications were using to converse with the network. And there were some limitations with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 that prevented you from taking advantage of RDMA-enabled adapters for VM workloads that were talking through a Hyper-V virtual switch. So we've broken through that barrier, and RDMA can be now enabled on network adapters, whether they're attached to a vSwitch or not. They can be teamed together so that you can create, essentially, these high-speed converged network backbones between your virtualization hosts with Windows Server 2016, where you're pumping through your storage traffic, your VM networking traffic, your clustering traffic and whatnot, through a converged backbone. And what that does is it reduces the complexity of how many network adapters you have to manage inside each physical host server. So you can get away with smaller servers, fewer, higher speed mix, and much more density in your existing data center as a result. So you can save on data center footprint costs, which can be huge for a lot of organizations. There's a lot of organizations that are starting to bump up against the physical capacity limits of their existing data centers. And so anything they can do to squeeze more capacity and performance out of their existing data center footprint is oftentimes welcomed.
Nice. So I know a lot of people, they may have heard about RDMA, but they may not really know what it is. Can you just go back a little bit and talk about RDMA? Like, is it a hardware-only thing? Is it a software-only thing? What do I need to buy to get RDMA? Because I want those benefits. I want high throughput and easy manageability, and I don't want it to hog my CPU. How do people get RDMA? What do they need to buy?
Yeah, that's a great question. So RDMA is a combination of hardware support for network interface cards that support RDMA accelerated transfers, along with software that knows how to talk to those network adapters and complete that high-speed transfer. The good news is, from a software perspective, the software support is built into Windows Server 2016, so you don't have to worry about adding additional software in place aside from your network card drivers for that particular manufacturer's network card. But if you're interested in being able to take advantage of, near line rate performance through your network cards, being able to drive, 10 gig network adapters at line rate for very heavy utilization, you definitely want to look at RDMA-enabled NICs as part of your spec when you're configuring or designing physical server infrastructure.
Okay, yep, makes a lot of sense. RDMA-enabled NICs. And are those sold, are those fairly common now, or do you have to ask for it specifically?
They are fairly common. The common network card manufacturers or NIC chipset manufacturers have RDMA oftentimes baked into their common chipsets when you get to gigabit and faster NICs. Under gigabit speeds, it's usually not an option there because with lower speed workloads, it doesn't really provide much benefit. It's usually when you're doing, either gigabit or multi-gigabit transfers, it reduces the overhead that the server itself has to use for processing that much data, and it allows you to drive those network cards at near line rate while not consuming an incredible amount of CPU utilization. So you're saving CPU for running your actual applications instead.
Perfect. Makes sense. All right. Is there anything else that's new with networking?
Oh, there's tons.
Keep going.
So Hyper-V network virtualization was a technology area that we introduced with Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2 for being able to virtualize isolated networks on top of a physical network infrastructure. And oftentimes organizations use that so they could create an isolated dev test network from their production network. Or organizations that were hosting multiple customer workloads might use that to create a separate isolated virtual network for each of those customer workloads. Back in the 2012 R2 days, which wasn't too long ago, that network virtualization technology was based on our own network virtualization implementation called network virtualization over GRE tunneling, over generic routing encapsulation. And it was a standard that we helped to develop and promote in the industry and had a fair amount of traction, right, with other industry players around NVGRE. What we've added in Windows Server 2016 is the ability to also support the other major standard for network virtualization, which is VXLAN. And so if you have hardware or servers or software that you're running with Windows Server that's designed for VXLAN, the good news is we can support both now and allow you to be compatible with a wider range of network devices that can process and handle VXLAN as well as NVGRE virtualized traffic efficiently.
Okay, great. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And then the last area I wanted to touch on was goes back to management. You know, when we think about physical network environments or even virtual network environments, one of the unwritten rules is that the only thing that's true about a data center is it's likely to grow, right? And so as you have experience
deleting
that growth,
anything, last time I checked, nobody's deleting anything.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. As you experience more and more growth, and certainly virtualization and moves towards either private or public clouds exponentially accelerate that growth, one of the areas that you have to contend with for management is managing lots of IP addresses and managing lots of DNS names. And, you know, back in the old days where you were talking about maybe hundreds of IP addresses and DNS names within the common data center, lots of network engineers did that management with Excel workbooks, right, and tracked it all manually. But now that you're oftentimes talking about thousands of IPs and DNS names, that's no longer practical. In Windows Server 2016, we've expanded our IP address management or IPAM solutions that's built into 2016 to incorporate not only IP address management, but also DNS server and DNS zone management as well. So you have a centralized point of management for managing across a distributed collection of DNS servers and zones, DHCP servers that are handing out IP information, and even static IP addresses. So you have one place to go, it's your authoritative source for the truth for everything that's IP, you know, everything that's IP address or DNS name related.
Nice. I don't know how we ever got along without it, but that sounds awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the show here. I hope you guys learned a lot. I certainly did. There's a ton of new functionality for networking in Windows Server 2016. It's a fairly technical episode, but, you know, technology is where the magic happens in a lot of cases. And being able to understand this and put it to work can really differentiate a company from its competitors. So, Keith, Mayer, you are awesome. Thank you so much for joining the show today, and I guess that about wraps it up. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.